Good morning. Our devotional reading comes from the book of Esther, chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 to 17. Esther, chapter 4, verse 1 to 17. And I'll just give you a little bit of a backdrop. Haman, who's been put in charge by the king, has just successfully gotten permission, received permission to essentially to terminate, to kill all the Jews. And so Mordecai hears of this plan, and this is where we're reading, starting from verse 1, chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. And he went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish, and she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, that he might remove his sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hatak from the king's eunuchs, whom the king had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So Hatak went out to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict which had been issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show Esther and inform her, and to order her to go into the king to implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. And Hatak came back and related Mordecai's words to Esther. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king to the inner court who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter, so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. And they related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews." Verse 14, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for three days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. Amen. As we kind of get geared up, you know, in the next few days to prepare for the fast, you know, I'm kind of going through a mental checklist of what it is I want to fast for. And naturally, you know, a lot of things come to mind. You know, I want to pray, obviously, covering over my family, over Annie, just like when she was pregnant with Noelle, this time being pregnant with our third daughter. You know, I want to pray covering over her, you know, a successful delivery, you know, no complications. I want to pray, you know, continual covering, you know, as the man of the house, as the gatekeeper, over my children, over my home. You know, next year, personally, it's going to be a huge transition, probably one of the largest, you know, one of the biggest transitions in my life, but not just for me, but for my family as we prepare to go to Beijing and, you know, my first time being a lead pastor or whatnot for a church and our, you know, our kids and family transitioning also in Beijing. So, you know, a lot of things, you know, I'm sure you guys are thinking about, you know, what am I going to really focus on during the fast? And as I was preparing for this devotional this morning, you know, as I read this particular passage, you know, just a bit of conviction. You know, naturally we think about all the things that we need to focus on, all the things that affect us. But as I read this, I was convicted to consider things outside of myself. to consider things beyond, you know, my immediate family or scope, but in essence, to pray for a nation. And so in this these verses that we read today, Esther calls a fast. And it's not so much for herself, but for those around her, for her people. And, you know, in my Bible, there's a little note here right after verse 14, and it's a quote from Sean Smith, right? And, you know, in verse 14, in essence, Mordecai is telling Esther, you know, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And Sean Smith, the last time he was here, he gave this quote, "When our cry for the generations die, we perish." In essence, if our cry, if our prayers stop for the nations, right? In essence, if all we're consumed or care about is me, my job, my family, and my prayers cease for my neighbors, for Hong Kong, for China, then in essence, we're in the same lot, you know? If we let our neighbors perish, right? What is it that God has called us for? What is it that God has equipped us for? What is it that God has brought us in this place for? And if we don't have a heart for the nations, if we're not praying and interceding for the nations, then in many ways, you know, the vision or the call or the things that God has given you are for naught. Just five quick points that I want to draw from Esther's fast. You know, five things that she sought after and five things that we can consider as we pray and as we prepare for our fast. Okay, so five kind of quick points to draw from. What was it that Esther was seeking in her fast, and what can we draw from as we draw near to our fast? Okay, so five quick points. One, she sought after solidarity, right? She recognized that this wasn't something that she could do alone. This was something that she was called to and that she would be placing her life on the line for, literally. And so she was calling her church, her people, her nation to pray with her. So, you know, there's something to be said about solidarity, right? You know, when you read about in the book of Acts and how believers were giving over their possessions and whatnot and sharing and you know, for the benefit of the church, right? She's calling people in her community to one call, to one vision. And consider, right, you know, she's making this plea, she's calling the church or the people. Consider how she would feel the next day if she were walking about in the community in the city and the very same people who are under the same lot who are to be terminated, and she's going out there and she's praying and fasting, and her maids are praying and fasting, and her family, and she saw a group of, you know, her own people, Jews, you know, eating, drinking, you know, partying or whatnot. You know, she would be quite discouraged, right? If this is something God had called her to do, and she's trying to do this, and then to see that, oh, I guess not everyone is on board. Right? I guess not everyone is as concerned for the being of the nations or whatnot as she is. And so there would be a little bit of discouragement. And so the idea of solidarity, right? There's numbers, there's power in numbers. You know, it's difficult, honestly, for me to fast by myself, right? You know, for me to go through a 21-day fast. But when our community is doing it together, right? There's a bit of solidarity. There's a bit of energy, a bit of encouragement, in fact. I'm not the only one who's kind of struggling or going through this time or season, but we're doing it as a church. And so every year when we do it together, 21 days, it's actually quite exciting, right? There's actually quite a bit of energy. And I'm not the only one seeking after the Lord, but with my brothers and sisters, we're doing this together. So consider that, you know, especially in those times during the fast when you're really struggling. You know, I'm not alone. This is something we're doing as a church, as a body. We believe in our community. Our lead pastor has called us into. It's something we do every year. Two, another thing she sought after was prayer support. Now, it may seem kind of odd. Yeah, you know, I'm praying, you're praying, we're all fasting, we're all doing a fast that we're being called to. And so, in essence, we're all kind of praying for ourselves. And so you tend to think like, oh, I don't want to bother someone else with my prayer requests, right? Like if Ken is praying for his, you know, points of or whatnot, this season of 21 days, you know, I don't want to, you know, impose upon him my, you know, personal prayer request. You know, I'll just fast for myself. But that's not the case. Esther calls the people, her people, to pray for her. In these next 3 days, pray for me, she says in verse 16, right? Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and days. And so, just a quick take here, you know, even though you're fasting for yourself and the things that God has called you to, you know, get some people around you and let them know what you're fasting for. And in fact, tell them, hey, can you pray for me during my fast? Right? And so if you have friends who aren't a part of Solomon's Porch, you know, in another faith community, or I got friends in California, you know, I want to make an effort to let them know, hey, I'm fasting during these 21 days. These are the things I'm fasting for. Can you join me? Can you pray for me? Right? So as we're praying, it's okay to get other people to pray for us. Does that make sense? Right? Because we kind of get this idea like, yeah, I'm fasting. Everyone's busy praying. It's kind of like, God's too busy to pray for me, or God's too busy to care about me. Well, go out and seek prayer support, right? Just like Esther did. Third point, she sought after confirmation, right? Anything that that involves, you know, putting your life on the line, you're going to think about more than once or twice. You're going to have these thoughts like, you know, is this really the best way? You know, God, is there, you know, am I hearing this right? You know, is there a better way, right? So you may be in a situation or position where you've gotten a calling or a word or a conviction from the Lord. And yet at the same time, did I hear that right? Yeah, Lord, you know, I'm going to Beijing and whatnot and this, but is there a better way? Is there a best way? And so she's seeking after confirmation. In essence, she wants clarity, right? And as we fast in this season, in the next 21 or, you know, plus days, right? And as we take out, you know, what naturally the most basic need of our bodies, food, as we cut this part out, there becomes in us a heightened spiritual awareness, right? As we literally are, you know, hour by hour, day by day, you know, it's one thing, one day, 2 days, 3 days, but 21, you're literally dying to yourself. Right? You're literally not providing your body with the things you need to sustain, to live, to survive. And so in this time, there's a heightened spiritual awareness, right? And so we're able to get clearer, crisper, you know, vision or calling, or we're able to hear directly in what God is confirming. And then sure enough, yes, this is God. You know, as we're praying and as we're seeking, we get confirmation and we move forward in this. Number four, affirmation, right? The devil is definitely going to bombard you, right? If he hasn't already. I have no doubt that the devil was bombarding Esther with doubts and fears. You know, who do you think you are, right? Do you really think you're going to enter into the king's court? You know, the beginning of the book of Esther starts off with the king, you know, executing his queen, right? Do you think you're that different or that special? And in fact, right, in her personal prayer chamber, I have no doubt that God encouraged her, that God strengthened her, that God spoke to her because she sought after him. And God said, Esther, you're my beloved child. You're my anointed. In fact, I did make you. In fact, I have called you. In fact, I have placed you in this place and time. For such a time as this, no doubt God spoke those words of encouragement, okay? So as we're fasting, right, your identity will be affirmed, right? You'll remember, this is who I am. I am a child of God. This is what I'm equipped with. God has called me. His Spirit lives in me. And the things that I am in now, the things that I'm encountering, the warfare that God has brought me into, in fact, I'm able to succeed, okay? And fifth, she's obviously seeking after breakthrough, right? There are areas in our lives, work, family, relationships, health, that we're seeking after breakthrough. Literally, I love, you know, how the verse kind of in the NASB says it. In verse 16, the second half, and she's telling the people that she's going to fast. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus, I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, right? Right there. She's praying for breakthrough, right? She's praying to break through a circumstance or situation, right? Something that's not according to the law. In other words, something that is not the norm, something that is not accepted, you know, something that the world, you know, kind of puts parameters on, and this is how it's supposed to be. And she's praying for breakthrough. That in fact, the God would bring her above and have her rise above what is the norm or what is accepted or what is the law. Right? And so breakthrough. She wants breakthrough. She wants to be able to enter into the king for her to be able to share her plea to expose, you know, the evil plans or whatnot of Haman. And so she's praying for this. Right? So for something that's not according to law. Right? And she's seeking what God says about a matter. Right? That is more important than what the law or what the world says. Okay? And in essence, just to wrap up, right? You know, as we consider some of these things, you know, in our fast in the coming week, right? At the end of the day, her fast, right, was actually, you know, for a nation, for a people. It was, you know, in one sense, it's, you know, I'm sure, Lord, preserve me in many ways. You know, I don't want to die. But at the same time, she's praying for the preservation of her people. And at the end of the day, her fast comes down to two things. And for each of us, our fast will come down to these two things, right? It's essentially us saying, God, I need you, right? When we're fasting, you know, in however the mode or whatever we're called to or whatever we're giving up, in essence, it's our hearts saying, crying out to God, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. God, I need to hear you. I need to be closer to you. And two, in the course of this fast, it's God saying to us that I will sustain you. Right? So it's one, it's us crying out to God, pleading and saying, God, I need you. I need to be closer to you. Therefore, I'm setting aside this time to seek after you. And two, in the course of this fast, it's God saying, I love you and I will sustain you. I'm everything you need. At the end of your fast, 21 or 40 days, whatever, you need to hear, we need to be confirmed that God's saying, I love you. I am all that you need and I will sustain you. Okay, so let's bow our heads this morning. Just a charge and challenge for us. You know, as we, you know, enter into the New Year's Eve service tomorrow night, you know, and as we do every year, you know, we're going to be asked, what are we going to pray for? And I challenge you, you know, that you don't just show up, you know, at 9:30, eat a bunch of hot dogs, play some Monopoly, and then at like 11:30 when Pastor Sam calls you, each of us, to write down kind of our vision for 2011. You know, I challenge you that you don't wait just until that minute, but that you would kind of sift through, kind of churn in your hearts. You know, what is it that the Lord is calling you to? Right? Believe it or not, you know, each one of us, the Lord is calling us to a specific fast. And He's calling each of us to lay down a specific thing. And it's okay, corporately and generally, to kind of just ride the wave of, you know, where the church is headed. But I challenge each of us to hear specifically from God. You know, in this next season, what is it we need to lay down? What is it we can pray for? And you're going to get, you know, naturally things, you know, that affect you immediately. But my real charge today is that you would adopt a nation, right? That you would ask God for a nation, right? And if you can't think of one, then pray for China, right? Because I'm going there next year, right? Pray for China. Man, you live in China. We live in China. Man, think of it this way. If our neighbors perish, we perish, right? Think of it that way. Take it upon yourself. If China perishes, then my children perish. Then the next generations of my line, of my blood, of my family will also perish. Think of it that way and take it upon yourself that way. And ask God to give you His heart for the nations. I mean, do you really believe that we, that one, that two or three or ten or a handful can come together and impact a nation? Right? Did Esther really believe that she could make a difference? I don't know. So she went to the Lord in a fast, and she called others to fast with her. And I'm charging us this morning, right? Let's take a nation. Let's pray for a nation. Let's just meditate on this as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship.
Open up the skies of mercy. Rain down the cleansing flood. Healing water rise around us. Hear our cries, Lord. Let them rise. Sing that again. Open up the skies of mercy. Open up the skies of mercy. Rain down the cleansing flood. Healing water rise around. Hear our cries, Lord. Let them rise. It's your kindness, Lord. Leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than mine. We can feel your mercy fall. You are turning our hearts. Your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than it's your kindness, Lord, leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. Your love is better than
first prayer point this morning as we close out 2010. No doubts there were hardships, pains that we had to endure, but this morning let's just meditate and focus on the praises. Right, let's account and highlight all the things that God was faithful in. Right, let's give him thanksgiving and praises. Yeah there were hard times. There were times that really sucked. Right? We needed to be, it would have been nice to be somewhere else. But let's praise God for the things that he showed up in. Let's praise God for the things He brought us out of. Let's pray God for the praise God for the healings, for you know, physical, emotional, spiritual. Let's praise God for you know the things that we've accomplished in the workplace and in families and relationship. Let's praise God for the many things that He's joyously and willingly outpoured on each of us. Let's just spend some time giving thanks and praises to God for this past year. Let's pray. For our missions focus, let's pray for China. Let's just pray over Pastor Nate and Matt's parents in Qingdao. Let's pray for Jane and John and their kids in Dalian over their ministry. Let's pray for the orphans in Qichihar that God will just continue to provide favor over them. Let's pray for preparations for the Beijing church plant. That God would just continue to work through all the details, the logistics, the visas for Chris and Amy, and for Amy for her job interview process there as well, and for myself and Annie and the kids, and just logistics with home and school and all that. Just pray also, you know, specifically if you can pray for just a perfect place, the place that God is leading us to meet and worship, you know, in the city, that God will provide for that. Let's just pray covering over China. Let's pray over our missionaries. Let's pray. Let's also pray for our building search. Let's just pray for our church to come together under one calling, under one vision, that God would supply all our needs to impact Hong Kong in a greater way, and that this would be tied to the land, that this would be tied to the place where we meet and worship, that many would be able to come, that many would be impacted. So let's just pray for the steering committee, for the funds, you know, just all the details and logistics, you know, that we'd really have a breakthrough as we go into 2011. Let's pray covering over the vine, that God will supply all their needs to make their transition as well. And let's just ask, you know, let's ask. Let's be bold. Let's ask for the vine. Let's ask for that land that we would be able to move in and do all that God has called us to do. Let's pray. Lastly, let's just pray. Tomorrow is Friday. We have no EMP. So let's pray and covering over this weekend, all our functions, events, meetings, that wherever God's people meet, that God's presence will dwell heavy in that place. So as we prepare to meet for our New Year's Eve service tomorrow, let's pray that God will go before us, already in this place, preparing a place for us to encounter and experience Him. Right, that God would speak to each and every single one of us. And let's pray for those who aren't here, you know, for the majority of our community and church that aren't here, that God would speak to them, that God would bring revelation, you know, in what needs to transpire and what we need to be contending for, what we need to be fasting for, that God would bring that ever so clear to us individually and corporately as a body. Let's pray for Saturday, our IP team as they meet, for the youth group as they meet. EG and GIC have been completed, and we have a new graduating class for both courses. Let's pray for Sunday service, for Pastor Sam, our worship service, our Sunday school teachers. We have several teachers stepping down. If you could just pray for just transition of adding new and all that. And so let's just pray, covering over this weekend and all our meetings, over our welcoming committee leaders and whatnot. Let's just pray for our worship team. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. And Father, we thank you, God, that, you know, for reminding us that, you know, there are impossible tasks, you know, things that are not according to the law. God, things that you're calling each of us to rise above and to break through. And God, just remind us this morning, Lord God, that, you know, for whatever reasons or how it is that we're going to fast, Lord, that at the end of the day, the reason why we're doing any of this is because we need you. Lord, because we need more of you in our lives. And Lord, we need to hear and you know, whatever it takes, whatever we need to, you know, reshuffle, whatever we need to, you know, put on the shelf, whatever we need to cut out of our lives. Lord, we need to get to that place where we hear and we receive and are affirmed that Lord, that you love us. That you are all that we need, that you sustain us. And God, we believe that as we receive this, Lord God, that our vision, that our direction, Lord, that everything will flow out of this. Our need to be near to you and the confirmation of hearing your love and direction in us, Lord. God, everything will flow out of that, Lord, into this new year, into the things you call us to. So God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. And we're excited, Lord, you know, individually, Lord, and on behalf of our church, Lord, for the things that you're going to do in us. God, we have great expectations, Lord God. We have great expectations for the things that you're going to draw our church and us into. God, we praise your name in advance. But we thank you, God, for breakthrough. God, we thank you, God, that you're going to bring us into and above and beyond, God, what even we can imagine. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.